I had been living in this single family home for years. After the divorce, I decided to keep it. It wasn't the newest or the fanciest, but it held so many memories. The place had its quirks, but it was familiar, and I needed that stability. The whole divorce process was draining, and honestly, I was relieved to finally have some peace. My friends kept telling me it might feel lonely or even a bit eerie living alone in such a big space, but I brushed off their concerns. I've always been the type to handle things on my own. One night, I was just relaxing on my couch, watching some TV. I had a long day at work, and all I wanted was to unwind. Out of the blue, the doorbell rang. It was late, and I wasn't expecting anyone. My friends knew better than to drop by unannounced, especially given everything I'd been through recently. I grabbed my phone and checked the security camera app. There was a guy outside holding a pizza box. But here's the thing, I didn't order any pizza. He looked around as if assessing the place. Something about his demeanor was unsettling. He was eyeing my house in a way that made me uncomfortable. Alarm bells started ringing in my head, warning me that something was off. The living room light was on, and with the blinds open, anyone could see right in. I kicked myself for not being more cautious. The TV was playing, and there I was, just sprawled out on the couch. It was obvious to the guy outside that I was home, and I felt cornered. I communicated with him through the security camera app, telling him he was at the wrong house and that I hadn't ordered any pizza. He checked some receipt he had and insisted he was at the right address. We went on like this for a bit, him pushing and me refusing. Eventually, he mentioned a potential mix-up and began to walk away. But the way he kept glancing back at my place made the hairs on the back of my neck stand up. Once he was out of sight, the paranoia kicked in. The idea of calling the police crossed my mind, but I held back. I figured they'd just hear about a pizza delivery mix-up and think it was a waste of their time. Still, something had told me this situation was far from done. After the weird encounter with the pizza guy, my nerves were shot. I went around the house, shutting every blind and drawing every curtain. Every window, every door, I double-checked to make sure they were locked tight. I tried to calm myself, saying that I was safe now. Hours passed without any more incidents, and eventually, I decided to head to bed. I thought maybe I was overthinking things. After a quick shower, I tucked myself in, hoping for a peaceful night. But deep into the night, the silence was shattered by a ping from my phone. It was a notification from the backyard motion detector. I could barely keep myself together from the intense fear as I opened the live feed. There they were, three men dressed in all black, faces hidden behind masks, prowling around my backyard. I almost couldn't believe my eyes. Before I could even process what was happening, I heard the crash of breaking glass from the first floor bedroom. The alarm system went off, its shrill sound blaring throughout the house. I raced from my bed, locking myself in the master bathroom. My phone rang. It was the home security company. Barely able to keep my voice steady, I whispered that there was a break-in happening right now and begged them to send the police immediately. Locked in the bathroom, it felt like time had stopped. I could feel myself just shutting down. In my own head, everything went silent for a bit, until I suddenly heard the operator from the security company yell out my name, asking if I was still on the line. Then I snapped out of it. The alarm's blaring was almost deafening, but above it, I could hear the intruders rummaging through my stuff downstairs. They were just tossing things all over the place, causing chaos. Then, a realization hit me like a ton of bricks. In my panic, I'd forgotten to lock my bedroom door. My heart raced even faster as I heard the creak of that door opening. Footsteps approached, slow and deliberate, until they stopped right outside the bathroom door. Then, a chilling knock. Not frantic or rushed, but slow, mocking taps. Next, he spoke. I'll always remember his words for as long as I live, which is why I'm able to quote it word for word until this day. He said, "Thanks for the pizza tip." He sneered from the other side, making it clear it was him, the pizza guy. His tone was dripping with overconfidence, like he was sure he'd get away with this. And he continued, "And for all the other goodies we found, don't worry, we'll be long gone before the cops show up." The weight of his words, the sheer audacity, left me frozen in terror. The operator kept talking to me, trying to keep me calm. She told me to stay quiet and that help was on the way. I just listened to her, trying to block out the sounds from outside the bathroom. It felt like forever, but after a bit, I didn't hear the intruders anymore. They must have taken off. I lost track of time, but after what felt like hours, I heard other noises. It was the police. I could hear them moving around the house, checking everything. They were talking on their radios, but I couldn't make out what they were saying. Finally, someone came to the bedroom. They called out to me, letting me know it was safe to come out. When I opened the bathroom door, a couple of officers were there. They looked relieved to see me okay. They told me the intruders were gone, but they stayed with me until I felt safe. But to be honest, I don't think I'll ever feel safe again. This happened to me like 4 months ago. I had started doing DoorDash at nights because honestly, I needed the money. Grad school wasn't cheap, and my day job wasn't cutting it. Most of my friends thought I was nuts for driving around at night, but it wasn't usually a big deal. I'd drop off some tacos here, a pizza there, and before I knew it, my night of work was done. But then there was that one night. I got an order for an apartment in a part of town I wasn't familiar with. I had heard some drivers complain about it, saying it was sketchy or it just gave them the creeps. I figured they were just trying to spook the newbies. So I shrugged it off and headed that way. When I pulled up to the apartment complex, it looked older and more run down than I expected. The streetlights were either busted or just super dim. I spotted a car parked a bit away, with a bunch of people hanging around it. I couldn't really make out their faces, but the whole vibe was weird. I kept telling myself I was just there to drop off some food and leave. I grabbed a bag of food from the passenger seat, double-checking the order on my phone. Apartment 3B. The entrance to the building was on the other side, away from the parked car and the group. That was a small relief. As I walked, I kept my head down, trying not to draw attention to myself. But there was this nagging feeling that they were keeping tabs on me. It was like that feeling you get when you know someone's watching, even if you can't see them. The hallway inside was even dimmer than the street outside, with flickering lights and a musty smell. I could hear muffled sounds from some of the apartments, like TVs or people talking. But what really got to me was the silence in between. It was a kind of silence that felt heavy, pressing down on you. I quickly found 3B and knocked, hoping the customer would answer fast. Just as I was about to knock again, I heard a noise behind me. Footsteps. Soft, but deliberate. They were getting closer. I pressed myself against the door, hoping whoever was inside would hurry up. The footsteps kept coming, and I felt trapped, sandwiched between the unknown behind and the unresponsive door in front. The footsteps behind me seemed to grow louder with each passing second, echoing all around. I tried telling myself it was probably just a neighbor or something, but something in my gut said otherwise. The hallway felt like it was closing in on me, and the only thing I wanted was for that door to open. Then, out of nowhere, the door to 3B creaked open. An older lady looked out, her eyes wide when she saw how freaked out I was. Without saying much, she pulled me inside and quickly locked the door. I peeked through the peephole and saw a tall figure stop right outside. They stood there for a bit, then walked off, their footsteps echoing till they were gone. I was trying to get my breathing under control, still not sure what just happened. The old lady, who said her name was Mrs. Sosa, handed me a drink of water. She told me she had seen those guys outside before, and they were bad news. She didn't open the door right away because she was being careful. I was just glad she decided to let me in when she did. Mrs. Sosa and I sat in her living room for a while, neither of us really wanting to talk about what just happened. She put on a Spanish soap opera, the kind with those dramatic sound effects and over-the-top acting. It was a weird sort of comfort, a distraction from the reality outside. She told me she had been living in that building for years and had seen all sorts of things. But lately, things had taken a turn for the worse, with that group outside causing trouble for many residents. After some time, I knew I couldn't stay in Mrs. Sosa's apartment forever. I thanked her, and with a deep breath, I stepped out into the hallway. The corridor was quiet, and I quickly made my way to the exit. The night air was cold, and I pulled my jacket tighter around me as I walked towards my car. But as I got closer, my heart sank. The same group of men from earlier was there, surrounding my vehicle. Worse, two cars were parked bumper to bumper with mine, effectively trapping it. The apparent leader of the group stepped forward, his eyes cold and calculating. He made it clear he wanted all my cash and anything else of value. Through the bandana covering most of his face, his intentions were unmistakable. To drive his point home, he subtly showed the handle of a gun tucked into his waistband. Without a second thought, I handed over my wallet and phone. They seemed content with what they got, and after a signal from their leader, they cleared the way for my car. He gave a stern warning against involving the police, his eyes locked onto mine. I jumped into my car, locking the doors and speeding away as fast as I could. But as I glanced in the rearview mirror, I noticed one of the cars trailing behind me, its headlights off. That's when I started driving erratically, trying to lose them, but they kept pace. Then, it suddenly hit me. I remember the police station was only a few blocks away. I floored it, racing for the station. As I pulled up, the car that was tailing me sped past, not daring to stop. I rushed inside, begging for help. I ended up saying everything that happened that night to one of the officers. They took my statement, but with the bandanas and the darkness, I couldn't provide much of a description. I quit doing DoorDash at night. The money just wasn't worth the risk to me anymore. Two years back, I was that typical college kid trying to make some extra cash. So, I took up this gig delivering pizzas. Honestly, it wasn't so bad. I'm more of an introvert, so cruising around town at night, away from the loud parties and crowds, was my kind of scene. Plus, the tips were decent, especially during the late hours when no one else wanted to work. most of my buddies couldn't understand my choice. They believed I was missing out on all the college fun. But for me, it was straightforward. I needed the money, and I liked the quiet. The pizza place was a small joint, not one of those big chains. The owner seemed grateful that someone was willing to handle the night shift, but there was this one night that stood out. I got an order for a place way out in a part of town I'd never been to. The only special instruction was to go around to the back door and knock 3 times. I remember thinking how unusual that was, but I didn't dwell on it too much. The drive to that address was a bit of a drag. The closer I got, the stranger the surroundings became. The busy streets turned into quiet roads, and the houses were way more spaced out. My GPS started acting all glitchy, and my phone had barely any signal. Just my luck. Pulling up to the house, it looked like something straight out of a horror movie. Seriously, it could have been the set for the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. It seemed like it hadn't been touched in years. The front yard was a total disaster zone, and there were no lights, except for this eerie glow coming from the back. I remember the note about the back door and headed there, even though every instinct told me to turn around. Now here's the weird part. When I got to the back door, it was already open. I figured maybe the wind had pushed it, or the customer, which I was told was an elderly woman, had left it that way. So, I knocked 3 times, just like the note said. The silence that followed was deafening, making me feel like someone was lurking just out of sight. I was by the door waiting, and let me tell you, that place was terrifying as all hell. The dim light from the back only added to the creep factor. I was thinking of just leaving when I heard someone inside, sounding like they needed help moving or something. The voice was definitely that of an older woman, so as chilling as her voice sounded coming from the darkness, I let my guard down temporarily. It turned out I was basically the stupid guy in the horror movie that you scream at for making a dumb decision. Anyways, taking a deep breath, I had went in, thinking I'd just drop the pizza and get out. The room was dim, making it really hard to see anything. And that's when I saw her. She was this old lady standing there, not moving, just staring. It was literally the creepiest thing I had ever seen. The way she just stood there in the shadows. I couldn't see her face clearly, but her presence more than made up for it, like she was waiting for something. Suddenly, I felt a crushing grip on my shoulders. Before I could react, 2 massive guys in disturbing pig masks started attacking me. They didn't say a word. Instead, they made these guttural, animal-like noises as they started beating me. The pain was immediate and intense. Every punch, every kick, felt like they were trying to break every bone in my body. In the middle of all the chaos, the old lady spoke up with a cold, emotionless voice, telling them to stop and take what I had. They obeyed, rummaged through my pockets, taking my cash and my phone. Then, with a strength that seemed inhuman, they dragged my battered body across the creaky floorboards of the house. I could barely register what was happening, as one of them pulled me down a set of stairs into a pitch-black basement. He just dumped me there, leaving me in the cold, damp darkness. I was left alone, hurting and terrified, in that basement. I honestly can't remember how long I was down there, but I finally mustered the strength to try and get out. Every inch of me ached, but the thought of staying in that hellhole any longer was motivation enough. I managed to find a rickety staircase leading up, and, with a lot of effort, made my way to the main floor. The house was silent. The old lady and those freaky pig mask guys were nowhere in sight. And yeah, even the pizza was gone. I didn't stick around to find out if they'd come back. I limped my way out of there, my only thought being to get as far away as possible. Once I was a safe distance away, I flagged down a passing car, and the driver, seeing the state I was in, immediately called the cops. When the cops arrived, they searched the house, but it was empty. It turned out the place had been abandoned for years. Those monsters were just using it as a trap. I was being checked out by paramedics as the cops were in the house investigating. It turned out I had a broken rib and nose. After what happened, I took some time off from delivering pizzas and school to recover both physically and emotionally. My boss felt bad about the whole thing and told me to take as much time as I needed. My parents were freaked out and kept telling me to quit that job, but I didn't want to. My bosses were great people, and this wasn't their fault. Plus, I like my job. Going back to work was tough, though. I was in a constant state of paranoia for a while. It was hard trying to act normal when all I could think about was that night. My name is Brad, and in my life as a food delivery driver, that day kicked off on a seemingly typical note. I was scrolling through DoorDash when I accepted an order to deliver a massive amount of food to a wealthy neighborhood. Accepting such an order made me double-check the address. I thought it could be for a party or a family get-together, and felt excited about the potential tip. Getting near the house, it was clear they weren't short on cash. Tall gates, manicured lawns, and a long driveway leading up to what looked more like a mansion than a home. Following the delivery instructions, I buzzed at the gate, heard a faint chime, and then an automated click allowed me entry. The weather outside that day was amazing. Not a single cloud could be found in the sky. The sun was shining bright, and the temperature was absolutely perfect. Upon reaching the front door, a woman, who appeared to be in her early 50s, with a focused and elegant demeanor, greeted me. She said that she'd like me to come inside and place the food on the kitchen table. Given the sheer volume of items, it made sense, though I admit to feeling sketched out for some reason. Delivery protocol usually suggests remaining outside, but this wasn't the first time someone had wanted me to come in, especially in posher neighborhoods. The strangeness began when I entered the lavish home. The living room, adjacent to the kitchen, had a group of individuals seated, all of them silently staring at me. It felt extremely unnerving. The ambience of the room was filled with tunes of classical music. I'm guessing from a Bluetooth sound system or something. I assumed I might have interrupted some kind of event or gathering, but they did order food after all. As I started to unload the food, a man from the living room approached me. While he appeared friendly, there was a certain intensity in his eyes. He began making comments about the weather, the traffic, and whether food delivery was a good job for me. With each comment he made, my sense of dizziness grew. This sensation of lightheadedness started ramping up. My surroundings became a blur, and my thoughts grew foggy. And then, everything went black. Then, I heard the loud blaring of a car horn. I swerved, narrowly missing an oncoming car. Snapping back to reality, I realized that I was already on the road, driving, but I had no idea how. The feeling was like when you're deep into a movie, and then out of nowhere, you remember you got a pot on the stove. The dashboard clock indicated that several hours had gone by. The bright sunny day was completely replaced by total darkness. It was like taking a super long nap in the afternoon, and then waking up and not knowing if you should have dinner or breakfast. I took a quick glance in the rearview mirror, half expecting some movie-style clue or telltale sign to explain the blackout. But nope. Everything looked just like it should. Normal. No sign of a scuffle or any harm. And with it, this bad feeling settled in my gut, like when you've watched one too many horror movies late at night. By the time I got home, my head was a mess of theories, like the ones found in the notebook of a conspiracy theorist. The rich mansion, the blank memory, and all those weird vibes made me wonder if there was something fishy about the food I was delivering, or if those fancy folks were up to no good. Heck, for a moment, I even thought maybe they were a part of some secret society or something. Once I parked, I did this exaggerated pat-down, checking pockets, shoes, looking for, I don't know, something to give me a hint of what went down. Thankfully, all my stuff was still there and untouched. The mystery of those missing hours felt like a song stuck in my head on repeat. A couple of friends tried to solve the riddle for me. Some said I must have been super tired and just zoned out. Others had this wild theory that I got hypnotized, like in that movie called Get Out. After a few sleepless nights, I was so close to playing detective and reporting it to the cops. But then it hit me. How do you even start? Hey, officer. I went to deliver food, did a time jump, and now I'm here. Got any ideas? That would probably earn me a free trip to a padded room. Instead, I thought maybe professional help was the way to go. So I found a therapist, one of those who's into hypnotherapy, thinking maybe they could rewind the tape in my head. Well, no jackpot there. Those sessions were as clear as mud. But I did walk away with one solid decision. I put that mansion on my no delivery list. And now I think twice before even stepping on a customer's porch. Every time I think about that day, it's like staring at a jigsaw puzzle with a missing piece. But hey, it's just another story to tell. A bizarre lesson of the wild cards you sometimes get dealt in the delivery game. Delivering pizzas isn't the kind of job that helps to impress chicks, but it pays the bills. I've been doing it for a couple of years now, and I've gotten to know the routes and regulars pretty well. Some of my favorite customers are old Mrs. Green, who always gives me a hefty tip and asks about my day. And then there's the Perez family, whose kids jump up and down in excitement every time they see me pull up in my beaten-down Toyota. It's funny how you start to form these small bonds with people just by handing them a box of pizza once a week. Now, I ain't one to brag or nothing, but I've had my fair share of pretty girls opening the door when I deliver. I always play it cool, but man, there are moments when it's hard not to sneak a second glance. Anyway, last month, I went to this house I'd never delivered to before. It was tucked away in a quiet part of town surrounded by trees, and the door was answered by this smoking hot chick. I mean, she looked like Scarlett Johansson, but almost hotter. She had short, wavy hair, a figure to die for, and a smile that had your boy break out into a sweat. She seemed friendly enough and asked me to come in and place the pizza on the dining table while she went up to grab the money from upstairs. Normally, I would never enter a customer's home, but I figured, hey, it's a quiet neighborhood, and she seemed trustworthy enough. So I stepped inside the sounds of Dr. Phil playing in the background. As I made my way around the corner to find the dining room, it was like stepping on a live wire. There, laying on the floor, was another woman. She had this terrified look in her eyes. Her hands were tied behind her back, and there was duct tape slapped across her mouth. I didn't even have a second to process the scene when I felt my heart almost stop. Out of nowhere, this big dude shows up, and before I knew it, he's pointing a gun right at me. My mind was racing, trying to figure out how the heck I got into this mess. He forced me to sit down, tied me up, and took all the cash I had on me. And just like that, the friendly and gorgeous girl from the doorway had become a part of my worst nightmare. Now, I ain't a hero or nothing, but in situations like these, you would be surprised how quickly your survival instincts kick in. Shortly after, the dude and the hot chick started whispering to each other, checking windows and doors. From the bits and pieces I caught, it was clear they had broken into the house just before I had gotten there. The poor lady on the floor of the dining room was probably the homeowner, and I had just walked into a home invasion. You could tell the pair was feeling the pressure, probably not expecting a pizza delivery guy to walk into their scheme. After some more whispered arguments, they eventually made the decision to dip. They left through the back door, leaving both of us tied up in the dining room. The TV was still loudly playing Dr. Phil, giving life tips, which felt so out of place considering our mess. With them gone, getting loose felt like the number one priority. I wriggled and shifted, trying to loosen the ropes, all the while hoping I could find a way to free both of us. With a lot of struggle and more luck than I would like to admit, I managed to get my hands free. Quickly getting to my feet, I went over and helped the woman, removing the duct tape gently, trying to reassure her with my eyes that everything was going to be okay. The first thing she did after being freed was grab her phone from a nearby cabinet and dial 911. While waiting for the cops to arrive, we tried to calm each other down, exchanging names. Her name was Crystal, and she kept thanking me, even though I felt I hadn't done much. Honestly, all I could think about was how I had almost been done in by a pizza delivery. When the police came, it was like a drama series. Non-stop questions, blinding lights, and neighbors trying to see the action. They took our statements and mentioned they had been on the lookout for a couple fitting the description of our assailants for some time. They were grateful for any details we could provide, no matter how small. Looking back, I still get chills thinking about that day. I've had a few weird deliveries in my time, but nothing that comes close to this. And now, every time I approach a new house, there's a tiny voice in the back of my head reminding me to be cautious. But you never really know what's waiting for you on the other side of the door. Online, I'm the person who always clicks the option which says, prefer not to answer, when asked for details. Call it caution, or maybe the scars from past experiences. Knowing my gender might be relevant for this tale, so I'll share that. I'm a woman. But that's as far as I'll go with personal info. After all, in today's world, the boundary between sharing and oversharing can sometimes be risky. That day at work felt like one never-ending problem after another. By the end, all I wanted was to collapse into bed and shut the world out. But I was starving, and the fridge was depressingly empty. Cooking wasn't even in the realm of possibility. I wasn't about to go out either, so I did what any self-respecting millennial would do. I opened up Grubhub on my phone and scoured the menu of my favorite Thai place. The longer I waited, the hungrier I got. Even after two episodes of my latest Netflix obsession, the food was still missing in action. Finally, I got a notification that my food was at the door. When I opened it, this delivery guy was just standing there, staring at me. I had never seen him before, and honestly, he gave off some really creepy vibes. Not like the usual friendly faces I had gotten accustomed to. However, hunger has this way of sidelining your intuition. I thanked him, albeit with a reserved nod, and quickly shut the door. The coldness of the bag was the first red flag. Taking a peek inside, it was all kinds of disappointing. Spring rolls as cold as my ex's heart. A pad thai that couldn't decide its temperature. Classic. But going out was a no-go, and my stomach was growling, so I just went to town on it. There's nothing like devouring comfort food after a hellish day, even if it's a bit on the cold side. Halfway through my meal, though, I started feeling kinda weird. I remember thinking it was just me being tired and exhausted after a long day. But then, the room began to spin, and I felt this overpowering dizziness, like I had downed 5 shots of tequila back to back. My vision blurred, and my legs gave way beneath me. I couldn't make heads or tails of what was happening. The last thing I remember was trying to grab onto the edge of the kitchen counter, but it felt like it was miles away, and just like that, I was out cold. Waking up felt like trying to swim through a thick fog. My head pounded like crazy, and every part of me felt heavy and sore. The cold kitchen floor beneath me didn't help matters. Groggily, I managed to push myself into a sitting position, trying to piece together what had just happened. It wasn't long before I noticed the signs. My living room looked like it had been hit by a tornado. Drawers pulled out, cushions tossed around, and no sign of my purse. Heart sinking, I stood up, placed a shaky hand to my throbbing head, and made my way through the apartment. My worst fears were confirmed. Valuables, cash, electronics, all missing. The reality of what happened hit me hard, with anger and fear mixing in a jumble of emotions. I knew I had to act fast. Grabbing my phone from the counter, I dialed 911. I quickly relayed everything, from the odd delivery guy and the cold meal, to the wrecked state of my apartment. The dispatcher assured me officers were on the way. After hanging up, my thoughts raced. I pulled up the Grubhub app to double check. The driver's photo and details on the app didn't match the guy who had come to my door at all. Something felt off about the whole profile thing, so I jumped on Google to see what I could find, if anything at all. I hit the jackpot on a Reddit thread pretty fast. Tons of users shared the same story about their delivery guy, whose face didn't match his pic, and the strange happenings after that. From the threads, it was clear this guy was following the same process other creeps have done and taking advantage of the system. Basically, they would join Grubhub or similar platforms using fake profiles and photos. After familiarizing themselves with a location, they would act, targeting unsuspecting victims. And the chilling part was that this kind of thing was going on for quite some time. That means these jerks have always been able to stay one step ahead and avoiding capture. When the police arrived, I handed them all the information, the mismatched Grubhub profile, the forum threads, and everything I had observed. They assured me they would investigate thoroughly, but I was determined to not just leave it at that. In the following weeks, I joined forces with others who had had similar experiences. Together, we were determined to raise awareness about this scam and put pressure on delivery platforms to strengthen their background checks and verification processes. I wouldn't wish this kind of terror and invasion on anyone. I've always thought that living alone had its perks. No one to answer to, just me and my quiet little world. But what happened that night 7 months ago scared the living crap out of me. It was a Friday, one of those lazy nights where cooking was the last thing on my mind. So, I did what I usually do on such nights, ordered a pizza. Just a large cheese pizza, nothing fancy. While waiting, I was lounging on my couch scrolling through my phone. It was pretty late, getting close to 11 p.m. The weird thing is, that night I had this bad feeling in my stomach, like if something bad was about to happen. I can't really describe it, but let's just say my intuition was on point that night. Then the doorbell rang. I remember feeling relieved that the pizza was finally here. But when I opened the door, that's when things took a terrifying turn. The delivery driver, who was a pretty big guy, forced his way in. It happened so fast. 1 second, I'm opening the door. The next, I'm on the floor, and he's slamming the door shut behind him. I was in shock, just lying there, trying to process what was happening. He threw the pizza box on the floor, and his eyes, they were filled with this indescribable rage. He kept yelling, "Why do you look like her?" over and over again. I was terrified. I didn't understand what he meant. I tried to speak, to ask him what was wrong, but the words just wouldn't come out. Then he said something that chilled me to the bone. He screamed, "This is impossible. You're supposed to be dead." I mean, what do you even say to that? Before I could react, he grabbed me by the throat and lifted me up. His grip was so tight I could barely breathe. The look in his eyes, it was like he was looking at someone else, not me. He shoved me back to the ground, and then, as if his rage turned into madness, he started laughing uncontrollably. It was the most disturbing sound I've ever heard. He ran to the corner of the living room near the kitchen and just sat there, rocking back and forth, still laughing. He kept repeating, "I'm gonna make you disappear forever." Words can't describe just how bizarre that scene was. I was lying there, trying to figure out what to do. I knew I had to act fast, but I was paralyzed with fear. Then, in a moment of clarity, I realized he was distracted. This was my chance. I mustered all the courage I had and ran for the door. He noticed and got up, chasing after me. I've never been so scared in my life. I was running down the street, screaming for help. It was surreal. Like, I've seen stuff like this happen in true crime shows, but never in a million years did I think this would happen to me. I could hear his footsteps behind me getting closer and closer. Thank God there were people still awake. Two men from separate houses heard my screams and came out. They tackled him to the ground, and I just collapsed on the sidewalk, gasping for air. One of the men's wives was on the porch calling the police. It all happened so quickly, yet it felt like time had stopped. When the police arrived, they arrested the man. I was still in shock, trying to process what the hell was even happening. The officers were kind, asking me questions, making sure I was okay. But how could I be okay? That night changed everything for me. I couldn't bring myself to order from that pizza place again. Every time I thought about pizza, it just brought back those terrifying memories. It was more than just the fear of another attack. It was the realization that my home, my safe space, had been violated. After that night, I made it a point to cook no matter how exhausted I was. There was no way I was going to order takeout again, at least not right away. I kept thinking about his words, "Why do you look like her?" and "You're supposed to be dead." It haunted me. I wondered who he mistook me for and what happened to that person. A ton of different theories ran through my head about that. Based on how much of a lunatic this guy was, it wouldn't surprise me if he actually did end someone's life. So yeah, that whole situation messed me up pretty bad. I still get panic attacks from it. But what can you do? I guess sometimes you just gotta roll with the punches. One night, I was doing my usual DoorDash shift. It was late, probably around midnight, and I was on my way to drop off my last order for the night. I wasn't feeling too great, and so I just wanted to finish up and get home. It was pretty quiet out that night. Thankfully, the route I was on at the time was one I was familiar with, since I had done it a few times in the past. As I'm about 2 minutes away from the house, I reach this intersection. As I begin to continue driving after making my stop at the stop sign, this car, out of nowhere, runs their stop sign and nearly T-bones me on the passenger side. It was so close, I swear I could feel my heart stop for a second. I was pissed. Who wouldn't be? So I rolled down my window, yelled something at the guy, and maybe, you know, flipped him off. It wasn't the smartest move, I admit. But when you have a temper like mine, it's hard to hold back sometimes. I drove off, thinking that was the end of it. But then, I noticed in my rearview mirror that the same car had turned onto the street I was on. The guy was tailgating me, flashing his high beams like a maniac. It was getting really intense, and my adrenaline started pumping. My first thought was, what does this guy want? I mean, it's late. The roads are empty, and here's this lunatic chasing me down. So I pulled over, thinking maybe I could confront him and figure out what the hell his problem was. But the moment I stopped, he just zoomed past me. That's when everything went from bad to worse. As he drove by, he rolled down his window, and I still can't believe this. He opened fire on my car. I ducked down as fast as I could. Bullets were hitting my car. Glass shattering. I still can't believe this even happened. I felt this sharp pain in my left shoulder, and that's when I realized I'd been shot. Like, this dude literally did a drive-by on me. I couldn't believe it. Lying there in my car, with my shoulder bleeding, I was in shock. Again, I couldn't believe what just happened. The shooter had sped off after spraying my car with bullets. I managed to grab my phone and call 911. It was hard to speak, my voice was shaking, and the pain was unbearable. While I waited for the ambulance, people from the nearby houses came out. They heard the shots and saw the whole thing. They were trying to help, asking me questions, trying to keep me conscious. I remember thinking how lucky I was that people came to help. Till this day, I'm thankful for all of them. The ambulance arrived pretty quickly. The paramedics were great, trying their best to calm me down while they treated my wound. I remember the ride to the hospital, feeling dazed, trying to process the reality that I was almost killed over something so stupid. It was crazy. At the hospital, they took care of my shoulder. The bullet had gone through, so I was lucky, in a way. The police came too, and they asked me a bunch of questions. I told him everything, but I don't think they ever caught the guy. That thought bothered me for a long time. Recovering was tough, both physically and mentally. My shoulder healed, but the psychological scars, they stayed. I kept replaying that night in my head, thinking about what I could have done differently. It made me realize how fragile life is, how things can change in an instant. I stopped driving for DoorDash after that. I just couldn't get back into the car without feeling that fear grip me. It took a lot of time to even get to a point where I could drive again, just for myself. The incident changed me in a lot of ways. I'm more restrained now and less confrontational. You never know who you're dealing with or what they're capable of. Looking back, I'm grateful to be alive. It was a close call. Too close. It taught me to appreciate life more, to not sweat the small stuff. But yeah, that night, it was definitely the scariest thing that's ever happened to me. Alright, so my experience happened last year. I was working as a DoorDash driver, and it was getting late. I got this order for McDonald's, just a small one, you know, a burger and fries kind of deal. But the catch was, I had to deliver it to this apartment building in the Hyde Park area, here in Chicago. Anyone from around there knows it's not the best area, especially at night. But a job's a job, right? So I get to this building, and it's old, kind of run down. I was already a bit frustrated having to go all the way up to the fifth floor for just a small order. There was no working elevator, so I had to take the stairs. As I'm climbing up, I can't help but feel this sense of dread, like maybe I shouldn't be here, but I can't just not deliver someone's food. I reach the fifth floor, and the atmosphere changes. There's this group of young guys hanging out down the hallway. They're smoking, drinking, and there's loud music blasting from one of the apartments. The door's wide open, and I can see people walking in and out of the apartment. It felt like walking into a lion's den. Now, I'm not one to judge, but these guys looked intimidating. I mean, they were eyeing me as if I didn't belong there, which I guess I didn't. And wouldn't you know it, the apartment with the blaring music was exactly where I needed to go. I got nervous as hell as I walked towards them. One of them notices me and starts cussing, asking what the hell I'm doing there. I tell him I'm just delivering a DoorDash order. But as I say that, three of them start walking toward me. One's got his hands in his hoodie pockets, and I'm thinking, this can't be good. I just wanted to drop off the order and get out of there. Then, out of nowhere, one of them snatches the McDonald's bag from my hand. He's demanding my wallet now. I'm thinking, this is it, I'm getting mugged. I start panicking in my head, wondering if I should hand it over or try to run. But before I can decide, things escalate. As soon as I refuse to give them my wallet, two of them jump me. They start punching, kicking, and I'm just trying to protect my head. I can hear the others laughing, and someone's filming the whole thing on their phone. It was humiliating, terrifying, and painful all at once. They're not stopping. I feel blows to my back, my stomach. I'm on the ground now, and they're stomping on me. The guy who took the food is just standing there, laughing like it's the funniest thing he's ever seen. It felt like forever before they finally stopped. After they had their fun, they go through my pockets and take my cash, and then one of them grabs my phone. I'm watching helplessly as he smashes it on the ground, stomping on it until it's shattered. I'm lying there, bruised and broken, both physically and mentally. They're taunting me, yelling things like, "What you sticking around for? You looking for a tip?" And, "This food better not be cold." They're all laughing, and I've never felt so powerless. Eventually, they tell me to get lost, and I'm just scrambling to get out of there, trying to hold back tears. Once I'm outside, I try to call the cops, but my phone's completely destroyed. I'm in pain and feeling dizzy. As hurt as I was, I drove to a nearby gas station to use their phone. I report everything to the police, but you know how it is, they didn't really do much. They said they'd look into it, but I never heard anything back. That night was a life-altering experience for me. I quit DoorDash after that. I couldn't bring myself to make another delivery. The fear, the helplessness, it was too much for me. The lack of effort by the police really pissed me off, and honestly, it still does to this day. I mean, you hear about these things happening, but you never think it'll happen to you. That night, it did, and it's something I'll never forget. It was just after 11 p.m., and my stomach was growling. I had been working late on a project and forgot to eat dinner. Too tired to cook, I opened the Grubhub app on my phone and scrolled through the options. Most places were closed at this hour, but I finally found a pizza place that was still available for delivery. I placed my order and flopped down on the couch waiting for my food to arrive. I'm a 26-year-old woman and I live alone in a small one-bedroom apartment in the city. I work as a video editor for a large company. My job keeps me busy and I often find myself putting in extra hours, especially when deadlines are looming like they were that night. About 30 minutes after placing my order, I heard a knock at the door. I opened it to find a man holding my pizza box. He appeared to be in his 40s with shaggy hair and a scruffy beard. I thanked him and reached out to take the pizza, but he didn't hand it over to me. Instead, he said he needed to come inside to make sure the order was set up correctly for me. I found this odd, as I'd never heard of a delivery person needing to set up a pizza order. I politely told him that wasn't necessary and that I could take it from here. But he insisted, saying it was a new policy and he could get in trouble if he didn't do it. Feeling increasingly uncomfortable, I again declined and asked him to please just hand me the pizza. The man's previously friendly demeanor began to shift. He looked annoyed now and took a step closer to me, causing me to instinctively take a step back. He said if I didn't let him in, he would have to report me to the platform and I could get banned. None of this made any sense, but his aggressive tone was making me nervous. I glanced at my phone, debating if I should call 911, but I was scared that would send this dude over the edge. I was becoming more nervous as I tried to think of what to do next. I told him I needed to grab my wallet to tip him, so he needed to wait a moment. He nodded, and I quickly shut and locked the door. I walked to the kitchen and contacted Grubhub support through their live chat. Once connected, I quickly explained the situation to the chat agent. They sounded concerned and confused, assuring me that they had no policy about drivers entering customers' homes. They apologized and said they would call the driver immediately to tell him to leave my food and go. I ended the chat and quietly tiptoed back over to my front door. I nervously peered through the peephole and could see the man still standing there, looking impatient and irritated. A few seconds later, I saw him look down at his phone and answer it. I couldn't hear what was being said, but he began to look sheepish. After a short conversation, he hung up and called through the door, apologizing for the misunderstanding and saying he would leave the pizza outside my door. I watched through the peephole as he set the box down, gave one last glance at my door, then walked away. I waited a few minutes to make sure he was really gone before opening the door and quickly grabbing the pizza box. Back inside, I double-checked that I had locked the door and let out a nervous sigh of relief. My appetite was gone now, and my stomach in knots from that bizarre encounter. I ended up throwing the pizza away as I had no idea if the driver had tampered with it in some way. I didn't feel like I could take any chances after the way he had behaved. So, I made myself a quick sandwich and got ready for bed. The next morning, that whole incident was still on my mind. I couldn't believe creeps like him are able to have jobs like that. What makes it all the more disturbing is the fact that he knows where I live and what I look like. I wish I could say that was the end of it and I moved on with my life, but ever since that night, I felt nervous in my own apartment. I find myself double-checking that the door is locked, peering out the window whenever I hear a noise. That delivery driver shattered my sense of safety and security with his bizarre and unsettling behavior. He may be gone, but the fear still lingers. I just hope he never comes back. I've been delivering food for DoorDash for about a year now. Most of the time, it's an okay job. I can make my own schedule, listen to podcasts while driving, and the money is all right. But after what happened to me 4 months ago, I don't know if I can keep doing this. I still can't sleep without having nightmares about that night. It started off just like any other delivery. I got an order from a Wings restaurant. The address was in a rural area, about 20 minutes away, that I didn't know well. but the app said I'd make $15, so I thought it was worth the drive. I got the food and started following the GPS. As I drove away from the city, the roads got smaller and the houses grew farther apart. There were lots of trees on both sides. My headlights were the only light on the dark, empty road. About 5 minutes from the place, I heard a loud noise and my car pulled to the right. I went ahead and stopped on the side of the road. I got out with my phone flashlight to see what happened. My front right tire was totally destroyed. I must have driven over something sharp. I opened the trunk to get the spare tire, but saw that the tool to remove the tire was old and rusty, and I didn't even have the thing to lift up the car, so changing the tire myself was no longer an option. I called the customer and told him I had a flat tire and would be late. He sounded irritated, but still wanted the food. So I called roadside assistance, knowing the wait was going to absolutely suck. They said someone would come in about 45 minutes, so I sat against my car and waited. The woods around me seemed creepy, with the tree branches looking like large creepy hands. The wind blew through the leaves. It was sort of soothing and unnerving all at once. The only light was from the moon behind the clouds and my headlights shining on the empty road. I remember wishing I had a warmer jacket. Then, I saw headlights far behind me. At first, I was happy that help was coming faster than I expected. But as the car got closer, I saw it wasn't a tow truck. It was an old, crappy car that pulled up behind me. The car just parked there with the engine idling and the headlights staying on. At this point, I started to feel pretty sketched out. Something just wasn't feeling right about this. Why would a random car stop way out here? I stood up straight and held my phone tightly, ready to call 911. The front doors opened. Two men got out, hidden by the bright headlights. One was tall and skinny, the other short and heavy. I couldn't see their faces, though. They walked toward me slowly. I could hear their boots crunching on the rocks. The tall one asked if I needed help, but his tone wasn't all that friendly. I said no, and that I had a tow truck coming. They kept walking until they were close. These guys reeked of cigarettes, booze, and whatever the hell else that was. The short one said it was too bad, because they were going to need all my cash. The tall one took out a knife that reflected in the headlights. I was definitely nervous, but at the same time, extremely annoyed about how literally everything was going wrong. I begged them to just take the food and leave me alone, holding up both my hands. I also said that I didn't have much money. The short one laughed in a way that was pretty weird and bizarre. He ordered me to drop my phone and take everything out of my pockets. So, I went ahead and did what he asked. My phone, wallet, and keys fell on the rocky ground, but it wasn't enough for them. The tall one angrily asked if I was hiding more money. He grabbed my jacket and shoved me against the car so hard it knocked the air out of me. I couldn't breathe. He pushed a knife painfully against my neck. I closed my eyes, expecting the worst, but it didn't happen. The short one took the $32 from my wallet and took my phone too. He said that would have to be enough and told the other guy they should leave. The knife was taken away from my neck and they let me go. When I turned around, the tall one sucker punched me right in the gut and I collapsed to the ground. The short one then came over and kicked me so hard in the face that I blacked out. While semi-conscious, I heard them going through my car. They ended up taking the bag of food too. After some time had passed, I heard their car doors shut and the engine revving up. Then I heard the rocks crunching as I quickly drove away with the stuff they stole. I don't know how long I lay there in the dark. At some point, I slowly started to regain consciousness. My vision was pretty blurred, too. I remember getting really scared when I saw the headlights approaching me. It turned out to be the tow truck that finally came, and the driver shined a flashlight on me, shaking on the ground. He helped me stand up and asked if I was okay. I nodded not able to walk. When he saw the tire, he put my car in the tow truck and drove me to the closest police station so I could tell them what happened and call for a ride home. I still drive for DoorDash since I need to pay bills and support my family. But now, I hate being in a car, especially at night. I think I have some sort of PTSD or something, because every once in a while I get random flashbacks and I get freaked out. When I close my eyes, I can still feel the coldness of that knife on my neck. They took more than just my money and phone that night. They took away my feeling of safety. I know I'm lucky they didn't kill me, but I'll always have the scars, the fear, the memories of that dark night on that empty road. The night my job almost got me killed. The night my luck almost ran out. As a food delivery driver, I've seen my fair share of strange things on the job. Late night shifts can be especially eerie, with deserted streets and an unsettling stillness in the air. But there's one neighborhood in particular that always gives me chills. It started a few months ago when I first noticed a young boy, no older than 8 or 9, standing alone in the middle of the street. It was well past midnight, and the sight of this child, illuminated by the dim glow of the streetlights, creeped me the hell out. As I slowed my car to get a better look, the boy suddenly darted off to the side of the road and vanished. I really thought I was sleep deprived and just seeing things at first. But as I continued to deliver to this neighborhood, I kept seeing the same boy, always at night and always alone. Each time, he would run off and disappear before I could get a clear look at him. I became super curious, and so I started asking around. I casually brought it up to some of my regular customers in the area, wondering if they had ever seen the child. To my surprise, several of them had similar stories to share. They spoke of a little boy who would appear out of nowhere, standing motionless in the street, only to vanish moments later. One elderly woman, a longtime resident of the neighborhood, and one who I frequently delivered food to, pulled me aside one night. She lowered her voice and told me this tragic story of a young boy named Jeremy who had been killed in a hit-and-run accident several years ago. The driver had never been caught, and the community had been left heartbroken by the senseless loss of such a young life. As I listened to her story, a sinking feeling settled in my stomach. Could it be that the boy I had been seeing was the ghost of Jeremy? The thought made my skin crawl, but I couldn't shake the nagging sense that there was more to this mystery than met the eye. I began to investigate further, searching online for any news articles about the accident. It didn't take long to find what I was looking for. The details matched the woman's story perfectly, right down to the description of the boy and the location of the hit and run. Armed with this new information, I decided to take a different approach to my deliveries in the neighborhood. I started paying closer attention to my surroundings, looking for any signs of the ghostly child. And then, one night, I saw him again. This time, instead of running away, the boy stood his ground, staring directly at me with hollow, lifeless eyes. I froze, my heart damn near jumping out of my chest, as he slowly raised his arm and pointed in my direction. I turned around, totally expecting to see something terrifying, but there was nothing there. When I looked back, the boy had vanished, leaving me alone in the empty street. From that moment on, my deliveries to the neighborhood made me break out in a cold sweat. The money I made was pretty decent, but stuff like this isn't what I signed up for. Anyways, I started asking more questions, digging deeper into the circumstances surrounding the boy's death. I talked to neighbors, local shop owners, and even the police, but no one seemed to have any new information. The case had gone cold, and the community had moved on as best they could. But I couldn't let it go. The image of that little boy standing alone in the street haunted my dreams and consumed my thoughts. I became obsessed with finding answers and was desperate to have some sort of closure, if just for my own sanity. And then, one night, I saw him again. This time, something completely bizarre happened to me. I honestly don't remember much of what happened that night. All I have are flashes of memory, memories of me running, screaming, and a blinding light and a searing pain. When I came to, I was in the hospital, my body battered and bruised. It felt like I had completely lost my mind as I started screaming and panicking. Medical personnel had to rush in and calm me down. The police said it was a hit and run, that I had been lucky to survive. But I knew the truth. I had seen something that night, something that defied explanation. And now, every time I close my eyes, I see Jeremy staring deep into my soul with those cold eyes. I don't deliver there anymore, but I know that Jeremy is still out there, waiting for someone to uncover the truth behind his death. I always thought working late was just part of the hustle. Fresh out of college, I landed a graphic designer gig in downtown. The job itself was great, except those long hours staring at a computer screen meant cooking was the last thing on my mind when I got home. That's where Lou's Pizza came in. Every pie was a slice of heaven after a day of deadlines and demanding clients. Lou's was two blocks from my apartment, so the pizza always arrived piping hot. The delivery guy was kind of an odd duck. He'd be the one to drop off my order most nights. He always wore this faded black hoodie, even in the heat. Never really talked, just handed me the pizza with a quick nod. I'd offer a smile, a tip, and then dinner time. My routine never changed much. Get home by 8 p.m., shoes off. Then it's me and whatever series I'm binging on Netflix with a cheesy slice in hand by 8:30. But this one night, I remember checking my phone after finishing my meal and seeing this text from a number I didn't know. It said I was beautiful and that they wanted to marry me someday. Odd prank, I thought, brushing it off before crashing into bed. Days rolled on, work never slowed, and neither did my pizza habit. Then, another text. More of that "you're beautiful" talk. Before I could even process it, my phone rang. This wasn't a number I knew either. I answered, and there's this heavy breathing, followed by a whisper that they can't wait to have me. Chills ran down my spine. I did what any sane person would, call the cops. It's scary, you know, having someone out there fixated on you. The police were sympathetic, but hit a dead end with the burner phone. They said to keep records of any other weird stuff and to try and stay safe. Not the most reassuring advice, but what else could I do? Not too long after that, that's when things started to get real strange. I was out shopping for work clothes at Target, pulling a late night run to avoid crowds. There I am, in the clearance aisle. Then this sweaty, nervous guy comes up to me. It took me a second, but it clicked. The pizza guy. I don't know why, but it was kind of jarring seeing him out in the real world, doing something other than delivering me pizza. He started chatting, trying to act normal, but failing. Then this woman pops up behind him, asking who I am. She seemed to know him, yet there was an awkward tension between them. I felt cornered, with him standing too close for comfort. Making up an excuse, I booked it to the registers, eager to put distance between us. Ever since that encounter at Target, I was completely paranoid. It's like I had eyes on me, no matter where I went or what I was doing. At the time, I had my suspicions about this guy, but I wasn't 100% sure. I don't think he followed me to Target, since he genuinely looked shocked and nervous as hell. But I still had all sorts of warning signals flashing in my mind about him. Then came another message late one evening while I was sketching designs for a new project. I got another text from yet another new number. The text said they loved how close we were at the store. I literally felt my soul leave my body the second I read that. It had to be him, the pizza guy. That's when it clicked that he wasn't just some awkward delivery dude. He was watching me, following me outside of his delivery runs. I couldn't just sit on this. The next day, I called the pizza place. I was literally hysterical on the phone. I explained everything to the manager, the texts, the calls, the run-in at Target. They sounded as freaked out as I was and promised to look into it. But I wasn't going to just sit around and wait for things to get sorted. I went straight to the police station after hanging up. The police took notes, but their hands were tied without solid proof. The texts and calls came from different numbers, and I didn't have any photos or anything. It was frustrating. They said they talked to the pizza guy, but without evidence, it was just my word against his. The officer told me to stay aware of my surroundings and report anything new. I changed up my routine, trying to throw off this guy if he was really following me. I ended up taking different routes home, stopped ordering pizza, ate more sandwiches than I ever wanted to. My friend said I was being paranoid, but none of them had to look over their shoulder every time they went out to grab milk or to take out the trash. Nights were the worst. Every little noise made my heart race. I felt like he was out there, in the shadows, watching. I got new locks, blackout curtains, and even a doorbell camera. A couple of weeks of silence passed, and I almost believed it was over. Almost. Then, one night, coming back from a late shift, there was a pizza box sitting at my doorstep. No note, no delivery car in sight. Just a cold pizza with my favorite toppings. It felt like a I'm still here type of message. That pizza sitting there was the last straw. I didn't touch it, just went inside and called the police again. They came, took the box for prints. Nothing. I couldn't sleep that night. Every time I closed my eyes, I saw that box and the disgusting face of that man. It wasn't just a delivery anymore. It was a threat. The following day, I had to go into work, but mentally I was checked out. The police hadn't called back yet, and I jumped every time my phone vibrated. But it was just clients, friends, normal stuff. Except I didn't feel normal anymore. Nothing else happened since that day. The creepy messages stopped. The police never got enough to charge anyone. The pizza shop said the delivery guy quit. No notice. Just gone. I'm still looking over my shoulder everywhere I go. Maybe it's over. Or maybe it's just the quiet before the storm. I keep my phone close. Doors locked. And I haven't ordered pizza since. This happened a few years ago when I was 13 years old, back in 2019. Growing up in a small town in Ohio, there wasn't much to do, especially on a Friday night. My older sister and I had this ritual where we'd watch movies together every week. It was one of those things that made our bond strong, not like other siblings who are constantly at each other's throats. My sister was 17 at the time. That particular night, our parents were out trying their luck at the casino, and my sister and I decided to order pizza, our favorite comfort food. We picked our usual, a large pepperoni with extra cheese. I remember how the living room was set up for our movie night, with blankets and pillows scattered around the couch. It was around 8 p.m. when we placed the order. The lady on the phone said it would take about 45 minutes, which was perfect timing for us to pick a movie. We settled on a comedy named Mall Cop 2, something light to keep the mood up. The clock ticked past 9 p.m., and we were starting to wonder about the pizza. You know when you're hungry, every minute feels like an hour. We were halfway through the movie, but our stomachs were too empty to enjoy it fully. Then, finally, the doorbell rang. It was about 9:15 p.m. A bit late, but we were just happy the pizza had finally arrived. My sister went to answer the door. I decided to use the bathroom real quick, figuring I'd come back to a slice of steaming hot pizza. From the bathroom, I could hear some muffled talking, but didn't think much of it. Usually, pizza delivery is straightforward. You pay, you get your pizza, end of story. But this time, this particular delivery exchange seemed to be taking longer than usual, which I found kind of odd. But at the time, I was more focused on emptying my full bladder, so I didn't really give it much thought. I came out of the bathroom, and there was my sister, sitting at the dining table. The pizza box was open in front of her, but she hadn't touched a slice. She looked pale. Her hands were trembling slightly. It was weird seeing her like that, since she's usually so composed. I asked her if everything was okay, but she just nodded and forced a smile. It was clear something had spooked her, but she didn't elaborate. We tried to get back to the movie, but the atmosphere had changed. My sister kept glancing at the door, and I could tell she was shaken up. I remember asking her a couple of times if she was sure everything was all right, and each time, she just brushed it off, saying she was fine. But the way she jumped at every little sound told a different story. It was like she was expecting someone, or something, to happen. The rest of the movie passed in a blur. We were both distracted, and the comedy on screen couldn't lift a growing uneasy feeling. By the time the movie ended, it was close to 11 p.m. We decided to call it a night, although neither of us felt like sleeping. We cleaned up, turned off the lights, and headed to our rooms, but that weird feeling just kind of lingered in the air. Little did we know, the rest of our night was set to go downhill. We were in our rooms, trying to sleep, but sleep was hard to come by that night. My mind kept replaying what happened earlier, especially the part where my sister came back from the door looking so scared. It was around 1 a.m., and the house was dead quiet, except for the occasional creaks and pops from the house settling. Those sounds always freaked me out. Then, out of nowhere, the doorbell rang. It was a jarring sound in the dead of night. My heart skipped a beat. Like, seriously, who actually rings somebody's doorbell at 1 a.m.? I heard my sister's door open, and we both peeked out of our rooms at the same time. Neither of us wanted to go downstairs. The doorbell rang again, followed by a series of loud, urgent knocks. It felt like every knock was echoing through the house and through my head. We mustered the courage to creep downstairs. The plan was to peek through the living room window to see who was at the door. I remember how my sister's hand trembled as she pulled back the curtain just a tiny bit. It was a man standing there, and he had another pizza box in his hand. That alone was weird enough. Who delivers pizza at 1 a.m.? But the truly chilling part was when the man looked directly over at the window where we were hiding. He had this eerie smile on his face, like he knew we were watching. That smile is forever embedded in my memory. It was like he was enjoying scaring us. And then, without another word or action, he turned around, went back to his car, and drove off at a speed that was way too fast for our quiet street. We were both freaked out, not knowing what to make of it. My sister finally told me that when she answered the door earlier, the delivery guy had been acting really weird, making her uncomfortable with his stares, inappropriate comments, and standing way too close for comfort. Mind you, this was a grown-ass man who looked old enough to be our dad. We didn't know what to do. Our parents were out, and it didn't seem like enough to call the police, especially with him speeding off into the night. Both of us agreed to stay up the rest of the night, just in case that freak decided to come back. And if he did, we were going to be ready to call the cops. So we stayed up, talking and trying to distract ourselves until the sun came up. Seeing the sun rise was the best feeling ever. Things always seemed less scary in the light of day. But we were still paranoid, wondering if the guy would come back again. Our parents came home later that morning. They were surprised to see us up so early, looking like we hadn't slept. We told them everything, and I could see the worry on their faces. My dad was particularly upset. He's the kind of person who takes family safety very seriously. After breakfast, he decided to go with us to the pizza place to talk to the manager. He was determined to get to the bottom of this. The manager at the pizza place was shocked when he heard our story. He apologized profusely and promised to look into it. He seemed genuine, like he had no idea that one of his employees was behaving this way. My dad left his number, asking to be updated on what actions would be taken. It was a small town, so things like this didn't happen often. And when they did, people took notice. After that incident, we never ordered pizza from that place again. It took a while for us to feel safe in our own home, especially at night. My sister was particularly affected. She became very cautious and would double-check all the locks before going to bed. For me, it was a rude awakening to the fact that the world wasn't as safe as I had thought. It was a creepy experience, one that stayed with us for a long time. Back when I was in college, I worked part-time delivering pizzas for Pizza Palace to make some extra cash. I grew up in a small town about an hour away from the university, so being on my own in the city was definitely an adjustment. I'll never forget this one night, though. It was late autumn, and the days were getting shorter. I was scheduled to work the closing shift that Friday night. It was around 10 p.m., and I was delivering one of the last few orders of my shift to an address on the outskirts of town. This area was pretty rural. Lots of winding roads and houses spaced far apart on large empty properties. I pulled up to the house, which was completely dark, except for one dim light coming from inside. I grabbed a pizza bag and walked up to ring the doorbell. As I stood there waiting, I heard loud music playing inside and a man shouting that the pizza was here. After a few seconds, the front door swung open and there stood a man who looked to be in his 40s. He had messy long hair and was wearing an old t-shirt and sweatpants. "Hey man, come on in. I'll grab my wallet real quick. Make yourself comfortable," he said with a big smile. I hesitated before stepping inside. The guy seemed friendly enough, but something felt off. As I looked around, I saw that the place was pretty bare. Just a ragged couch and a coffee table in the living room. The music sounded like it was coming from another room. Before I could process much else, the man said, "Go ahead, have a seat. Be right back," as he walked down the hallway. I sat down on the arm of the tattered couch and waited, clutching the pizza bag in my lap. A few minutes went by, and the man still hadn't returned. The booming music made the waiting feel even longer. I kept glancing around, but couldn't see or hear any signs of the man. I started feeling uneasy about being there. After about 5 more minutes, I decided I had given him enough time. Pizza Palace always taught us to not linger too long at deliveries. I got up and slowly walked across the living room toward the hallway where the man had gone. The music drowned out the sound of my footsteps as I approached. Heart racing, I cautiously peeked around the corner into the dark hallway. What I saw next made my blood turn cold. At the end of the hallway, the kitchen light was on, and I could see the outline of two people. The man had his back to me and was talking to someone blocked from view by the wall. After a few seconds, I watched in horror as a hand reached out from the kitchen and handed the man a gun. My heart dropped. This was bad. I had to get out of there. As quietly as I could, I rushed back over to the front door and unlocked it. The music was so loud they couldn't hear me sneak out. I ran to my car and sped off down the long, dark driveway onto the main road. As I drove away, I could see the man run out of the front door in my rearview mirror, looking around in confusion. He must have come back to the living room and found me gone. I just kept driving, tuned my radio to a top 40 station, and tried to steady my breathing. By the time I got back to Pizza Palace, I was still pretty shaken up. I told my manager what had happened, and he completely understood why I had to rush out of there. We called the police to let them know, but the house was so secluded, they said there wasn't much they could do without proof of actual criminal activity. I went ahead and finished my shift, but was on edge the rest of the night, constantly checking the parking lot for any suspicious cars. For the next few weeks, I asked to only deliver to well-lit areas and avoid solo closing shifts. My co-workers would try to reassure me that it was probably just some rowdy guys messing around, but I knew what I saw. That image of the man holding the gun was seared into my mind. I still get chills thinking about how close I came to something really bad happening that night. After that semester, I decided to find a job on campus instead of delivering pizzas. I needed to be around people and feel safe again. It took me a long time to not be hypervigilant going to unfamiliar houses. I'm in my 30s now and much better adjusted, but every once in a while, when I'm driving around at night, my mind goes back to that dark house at the end of that rural road.